Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. I'm going to do a deep dive into communication, and there's one of the godfathers of the marriage improvement industry, or as a work of art, John Gottman. He found that in therapy, in many different therapeutic approaches, marriage therapy, etc., etc., that communication, that they flog that dog way too much, and that statistically the success rate was very poor as a result. That they all were assuming that if you improve your communication and focus on communication, things would improve. And John Gottman is very hard to argue with because of the amount of research that he has done, and he found otherwise. I am going to put forward from a different slant that communication is astoundingly important, front and center. From my experience, why it's different from the therapeutic approach. In therapy, it's very much focused on conflict resolution. It's like, oh, if you can argue well together, if you can come back to connection, you know, stop all this massive outbursts, you know, from there spontaneously, things should pick up, things should take off. And time and time and time again, I'm hearing lots of guys. Obviously, if a guy reached out to me, whatever he has been trying before has not worked. And the majority of guys have tried marriage therapy, have tried one-to-one therapy, and clearly it just has not worked. So I will go to that point and go, hey, Master Gottman, yeah, you're right. However, I will say that within the heroic husband's men's circle approach, this as an approach, as a way, communication is very at the center of it, because therapy is about going from dysfunctional to functional. The heroic husband's men's circles approach, my personal approach, it's going from dysfunctional to off the fucking charts, awesome, happily ever after. You never imagined it could get as good as that. And then you keep redefining what awesome is every day, every week, every month that goes by. And as the years pass by, it just gets better. All of that depends on an exceptional practice of communication that can become a repeatable process that through conflict, through the good, the bad, the ugly, you have a repeatable process in your communication style with your queen that pretty much guarantees that your authentic truth will land. She will hear it, she will receive it, and she'll feel safe to do so. And herself with you, the good, the bad, the ugly, you won't treat anything good, bad, or ugly. It's just like, hey, if it's coming from you, baby, I'm here for it. Like, you know, bring your full truth, bring your authentic truth. It's an amazing upward spiral, and it's really the infinite game. That's what myself, my queen do. That's what we're sharing with our kids. So again, if some of you have read or heard, oh, it's not all about communication, I'm coming at it from a distinctly different approach than the therapy. Dysfunction to function, I fall asleep. Functional, to be functional in this profoundly sick society, man, that's sick. If that's really where you get to, that's why you can get functional by, oh, well, we're applying the communication, you know, the framework that we learned in therapy. We read this book. We did this, you know, course, and we're communicating better. It's because you're dying of boredom 12 months later. Your queen is dying of boredom. That's why it's like it just goes back to argument. So this is the embodying masculine freedom, infinite freedom, my friend, my friends listening in, infinite freedom is what is at the core of masculine yearning. The fullest embodiment of freedom, where you can live passionately engaging with your world, with your sports, with your endeavors, with your hobbies, with your career, with your queen, in the bedroom, out of the bedroom, other places that you might get it on with your beautiful queen, in the sexual dance, primal dance, whatever, with your kids, with your community, as a spiritual being. The infinite expansion game, embodying radical freedom, where every single cell in your body experiences more and more and more radical, ferocious self-love and acceptance, and your expression is so free. That's the game. That's the game. So To look at communication, let's quickly look at what dysfunctional communication looks like and feels like. I have spoken to this before, but it's such a front and center part of the radical success that members of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles and my one-on-one clients have, and my own success in my own marriage, that, hey, it's repetition is mastery. Let's quickly look, and I want you to touch base within yourself. I have noted on my path to overcoming radical, horrifying dysfunction in my own marriage, where my queen fell in love with another guy, we were really at the cliff edge, all the old metaphorical metaphors used for disaster zone, oh, we were on a knife edge, etc., etc. We earned the right to speak to them. It was really intense times. Like, I know a lot of you are going through your own version of that, so I honor the intensity that you're experiencing. But what I noticed in my own communication was I had this particular style of communicating that had three phases in it. And when I went with this, with these phases in one row, in one order, my queen was never feeling safe. We were always continuing arguments. If the argument ended, it ended with little to large amounts of resentment, and or we just stopped talking because, you know, after 2, 3, 4 hours of arguing, you know, eventually you need to go off and do something else with your day. You need to get off to sleep. So it just was a real shitty mess, and it was never going anywhere. And then I noticed that, hey, when I started playing with a different way of going at it, the polar opposite, it started to work. So again, I'm a results-based human being. Any of your opinions coming in, you know, guys can fight against this system, but I like, hey, how's that working out for you? That is a humbling approach here that I use in the work. Touch base. This is, in my experience, this is autobiographical, but touch base with yourselves, guys. Heroic humility. This is like really mirroring back and get honest within yourself. I'm going to speak to what I have found to be a pretty universal experience of how guys end up communicating or trying to communicate with their queens and it never works. Normally it goes in three phases. Truth, you start incessantly trying to land your truth first. Then there's some bit of a part of you that gets curious and then you start owning. But let me break that down. So the conflict starts. Whatever you say, your queen says, something happens, and now you've got two intolerably opposing views or opinions or perspectives on a certain topic. Something you did, something you're saying, etc., etc. You know what that feels like. So in that moment, touch base within yourself. Is there a hidden intention within you that it's right versus wrong? There's some part of you that, even if you're sort of, you know, quite calm in the beginning and it's just a rational conversation, that hidden behind what you're speaking to your queen, you're trying to convince her of your perspective. You might even be fine with her in the beginning. Like, sometimes conflicts are slow burning things. In the beginning, it seems, there's slightly differing opinions. So you lead with, hey, like, your first thing is like, you know, maybe she hasn't heard you fully or she doesn't fully understand what your perspective is. So you reassert, you restate what you're after saying, and it's met with, no, she's still not hearing. And you might even, you know, say, oh, okay, and you'll use a different metaphor, a different analogy, you'll restate it the same way, you'll speak it a little bit louder, but you're trying to get her to see your rationally thought out perspective, which in that moment feels very true and real to you. Because after all, as men, we like to think very blindly that we are rational beings. It's like, I'm a rational minded guy, you know, I don't have the heat of all this emotion that my queen has. I can see things black and white, I'm binary, you know. To touch base with you, is that a starting seed? Sort of like, she mightn't be so off, you're not going to judge her so much in the beginning, and maybe on some topics, yes, but you feel you're right and you start talking about your perspective and trying to get her to see your perspective. Every guy I've ever been one-on-one with or in men's circles, everybody has a hand up. It's like, yeah, that's how it kicks off, man. And they sort of know where what's going to happen, because your queen at that point, she doesn't actually go, oh, honey, you're so right, you know. I never thought that you were such a wise guy. You know, the first time in 20 years I've realized I've got better than a Dalai fucking Lama in front of me. Thank you for pointing out the error of my ways, the error of my thinking. Thank you for affirming your truth several times, which, you know, to me, to my human experience, that pretty much is asserting that you're right, I'm wrong. Thank you for not getting curious or asking me about my perspective. Thank you. You know, you're right. I love you. It doesn't work like that. It really does not work like that. Guys start chuckling or like outlandishly laughing at that point because they're like, oh my fucking God, because they know that happens. So at first you assert your own truth. Every guy in the room is like, yeah, that's how it happens. If you end up in conflict, that's how it happens. Because why? In her perspective, when you're asserting your truth, you're willingly, unwillingly stating, I'm more right than you. You mightn't outlandishly say or, you know, explicitly say you're wrong. And a lot of nice guys like, oh, but I wasn't rude. Hey, man, if you're not actually if you don't demonstrate any interest in getting curious about her perspective, hey, that is rude. And like, my point is, how has that shown up for you in your marriage? How effective is that? You know, the point at which you laugh is like, oh, you know, how wise you are. You're so right, my love. She never says that. She doesn't say it in your marriage. My wife won't say it in my marriage. And thousands of guys listening in, funny enough, thousands of wives don't say it. So again, bit of humility, the sort of part of her persona is like, oh, if I could just find a woman who is like a little bit more level-headed, a little bit more less fucking irrational, you know, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. She's an irrational feminine being, and you're irrationally retrying a process that does not work. That's the definition of insanity. So you truth bomb first. Then at some point, with your truth bombing, you're going at it. She's back arguing to you. You're feeling frustrated. God almighty, she just won't see that I'm giving her the solution. I'm telling her it's black and white. It's so simple. If she'd just get out of her mood, if she'd stop back bitching, if she'd just fucking calm down, if she wasn't so irate, she'd see the logical sense that I'm planting in front of her. At some point, could be 15 minutes in, sometimes it's an hour, 2 hours in, you know, with those really gnarly conflicts, some part of you gets curious. Some part of you softens a little bit to seeing that, you know, maybe she's not all wrong. Not every guy. Some guys have told me, it's like, Mark, I never get to that point. It's all my entire nervous system is, I'm right, she's wrong, that's it. They've said it like actually quite courageously and vulnerably, knowing that, hey, that's far from ideal, but they're like, yeah, that's how my nervous system works. Most guys will accept that at some point, some part of them can start hearing that she has a bit of a perspective. There is at least a bit of truth there. There's a bit of, yeah, okay, you know, I've been arguing my perspective, but I'm beginning to see that there could be a perspective there that I need to listen to. But at that point, you're so neck high deep into the conflict that to then go to her and go, you know, I'm actually beginning to see your perspective. You know that she's going to resent you for the previous 30 minutes, hour, 2-3 hours. On some topics, it's like an ongoing fucking conflict over a week. Or it could be over months and years, like classic ones, like arguing about your mother coming over and you're not setting boundaries, etc., etc. These topics of conversation can go back years. So most guys will go, yeah, some part softens and gets a bit curious, gets a bit open to another perspective. But most guys will agree with me when I say there's this hesitation to open up and openly say, hey, baby, yeah, I'm actually beginning to see your point. Because then you've got to face and hold space for her resentment, for her getting pissed off at you, for her, yeah, but you've been a fucking asshole for the last hour if you've been righteously arguing with me. So the curiosity comes, but it's very rarely acted upon with radical humility, where you honor that curiosity that's softening inside of you, and you just go, baby, I'm so sorry for the last 90 minutes. I've been really arguing. I've been black and white. I've been righteous. I'm now seeing that there is a different perspective. I'm very sorry for the insults. I'm very sorry for my attitude with you. I'm really sorry. Very rarely do guys go with that. So truth goes first. curiosity, a little bit, a part of you gets curious, begins to get a little bit open to certain aspects of truth that she's coming with. And then Owen, at some point, you know, when you start stonewalling her, when you fuck off to work because you just can't wait to get out of the kitchen away from your queen, when you just like fall asleep because like enough, I don't want to talk about this anymore, the next morning when you get up on your way to work, you know, whenever it is, you go for a walk, you storm out of the house, you go for a walk, at some point, have you found in your experience that you start, a part of you starts to own your experience? What I mean by own is it feels a remorse. There's some part of your conscience goes, man, you've been an asshole again. Man, you know, you exploded and that never works. Oh God, you started calling her that name and she was crying. You fucking made her cry again so you can have shame. And you might still be blaming her, going, yeah, but she should know better. We will. That's another key sign. Do you ever find yourself justifying how nasty you were? Justifying it because she should know better. She should know not to piss you off about that one topic. She should know not to be attacking your mother. You always get pissed off with that. She should know at this point, or whatever the repeated argument is. So most guys get this. It's like, yeah, I truth bomb in the beginning. It doesn't work, but I keep doing it. I keep rationalizing, not knowing that rationalization drives disconnect, drives conflict. I keep putting my truth forward. I keep trying to get her to see my perspective. Doesn't work. And then at some point, when all my four horses of the apocalypse have come, have attacked her, judge her, stonewall, it gets shitty, my voice is raised, etc. I get a little bit curious, open, see the perspective, but I don't have the practice to be humble. And then eventually remorse comes. Most guys can go, yeah, truth, curious, own. That's the way it goes. And it never works. So when you flip the order, this is what I found, guys. You need to flip the order. I want to build in expectation here as well. Some guys in Heroic Husbands, Men Circles, and in one-on-one work, they sort of say, hey, Mark, I'm using that system, but it's still not working. I just want to build some rock-solid beginner's mindset expectations, realistic expectations. This is a practice. This is a practice that, in many senses, I screw up on quite often because it's a high-end practice, but it really works. I just want you to step into it with your eyes wide open that, you know, if you've heard me speaking about this before, and if you listen to this now, and like maybe it's the first time, and you go with beginner's mindset, you go for it, and it doesn't seem to be coming off. It's not that the approach doesn't work. It's you just need to practice it way more often. And in many cases, you will have blind spots. Guys, myself included, we all have blind spots that we can't pick up yet. We don't yet have the skill of self-awareness to pick up our ignorances and nasty parts and ways we communicate that are actually really hurtful and really unsafe for our queens and people around us. So, hey, that's where Heroic Husbands Men Circles comes in. You know, you get the feedback. You get guys giving you live feedback. You have an accountability partner, and they will say, hey, man, just that tone of voice. Hey, man, do you realize when you're speaking, you're just after folding your arms? You get feedback. The guys that are doing this work are really sharp at being able to give you feedback. So you then recognize, okay, it's not own curious truth, the system that's not working. I just need to practice with more accuracy. So with that in mind, The rational part of you, I want to just go like the truth bombing first, curiosity then, and then owning does not work. There is that black and white part of your mind and my mind that you absolutely need to have the humility to go, that's not working. If you recognize that pattern as being accurate, and as I say, I've yet to meet a guy that goes, no, I own my shit impeccably, I'm then curious, I always listen to her first, and then, you know, I sprinkle in my perfectly landed, conscious, grounded truth, and my marriage is falling apart. It never happens like that. It's always the other variation. You've got to be black and white and go, it's not working. If you're listening into this podcast, it's not working. Who am I to say that? Well, what the fuck are you listening to a podcast if your marriage is A1, is brilliant? If your communication is brilliant to this level, that means you're nonstop in an expansion phase. You've nailed it. It's not working, the other approach. So what does work is own first, then get curious, then truth. Own, curious, truth. In Heroic Husbands, Men, Circles, and One-on-One Work, you'll hear that. You'll hear guys typing it, to speak it, I speak it. Own, curious, truth. Anytime a guy breaks down, you know, oh, he's been in conflict, I'll just, hey, man, own, curious, truth. You know, you were leading with truth. You need to own first, then get curious. You didn't feel seen or heard. So what own looks like within Heroic Husbands, Men, Circles, and I've spoken to this in other episodes, there's the signs of heart closure. Presence is key. Presence is spiritual medicine for the feminine heart and nervous system. Now, presence, one thing I want to make clear is, and this is for guys that are listening in, you know, some of you are just are listening in as a part of the beautiful audience of the podcast, but you've yet to venture into Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles. I can speak for the guys on the inside that are really diligently practicing this. One of the biggest mistakes, unwitting, but one of the biggest mistakes I see within the movement and en masse in men's circles around the world, in guys doing, you know, conscious masculine, feminine, spiritual relating, is this idea that presence, the practice of presence as a man, you know, like I talk about be the mountain in the storm, that the practice of presence is some perfect state of equanimity that has no anger, no frustration, no intense emotionality. You're just pure stillness. It's like it's meant to be some high-end state of meditation where you're in fucking like Prajnaparamitra, Parinirvana, you're enlightened. Oh my God, I'm levitating in the middle of the kitchen as she speaks to me. I'm that fucking enlightened. I am present. No, no, no. Major mistake. You're setting an expectation on yourself that is quite literally just impossible to achieve. Her whole feminine being is there to test your state of equanimity, but equanimity is not a state of perfection. Equanimity and presence is you being able to remain still, like still in your posture, upright, facing her, open-heartedly, looking her in the eye, as you simultaneously are experiencing, you know, whatever level of intensity of anger, rage, jealousy, hurt, rejection, sadness, grief inside of yourself. You're feeling it all, but she does not suffer any negative consequences as a result of you experiencing those emotional states and their accompanying the mental chatter, the thoughts and story that accompany such states of emotionality. She does not suffer the negative consequences of that. Presence is not a state of being where you're absent of all uncomfortable emotions. It's a state of inner stillness, outer stillness, where you're fine and grounded despite feeling the intensity, despite the four horses of the apocalypse, of from your inside, your shadow, your devil, your demons, your dragons inside, you know, going crazy. You're fine and she's fine. The mountain holds space for the storm. The mountain and the storm, remember, the storm is comprised of three aspects of your lived experience. Wounds, wife, world. Your wounds are the most important part. When anger, aggression, rage, jealousy, all that funky stuff comes up, you're fine with that. You can hold space. You can be the mountain in the storm of your wounds. And from there, and only from there, can you be the mountain for a horror storm. Again, if you pretend that presence is the absence of any inner storm inside of you, bad game. And you're going to start projecting shit onto her from there. So with that in mind, that presence is fully welcoming and non-judgmental state of whatever is live in your nervous system, there's the signs of heart closure, stillness, sight, shape, state, story. All of you listening in will have your own, what I might call, conflict emotional signature, where it's like in recurring moments of conflict with your queen and indeed with other people, your nervous system will give you like a unique enough repeating signature of your signs of heart closure. Stillness. Stillness, the opposite of stillness is like heart racing. Your breath is going a little bit crazy. And stillness, that part in this movement and approach is the intention. It's, as I said before, it's like you're right, she's wrong. Sight. Your eyes, if they're locked in on your queen, they're staring at her like it's like a stare down in, you know, before a UFC fight. You're staring that fucker out of it, you're going to die type thing. Or your eyes are failing to make any soft, loving, continued gaze and eye connection with her. Very unsafe sign when you're not holding your eye gaze. Shape, arms are folded, your body is the far end of the room, like you're trying to get out of the room. If you could press any more and the wall would just collapse, you would. Your shape, it's your toes are pointed to the door because your whole body wants to get to work. You don't want to face horror. There's tons of postural and the shape of your body. Body language just communicating, you know, fuck you, I don't want to be here, etc., etc. State. This is really key. Emotional state. Again, presence is not the absence of any uncomfortable emotions. Presence is being able to be with them in a non-judgmental manner. You're not beating the shit out of yourself. You're not doing anything wrong for experiencing an emotional state. And story. Hey, the print off from your head. Is it 100% blame? Well, it's useful information for your queen to know that. It's very important that you can accept that and know and be objective with it, going, hey, this isn't ideal. If I talk from 100% blame, or if I talk from a high percentage of shame, beating the shit out of myself, it's not going to do anything useful for this conversation, and it's not going to bring about connection. So you lead with ownership first. This is like, metaphorically, you take the bullets out of a gun. You know, of course, you can have the argument, don't go super rational, be a smart ass on it. You know, but play with me for a moment. It's like, if you have a gun and it's loaded, you know, and you're in conversation with somebody, there's going to be a high, high state of tension. But if you take all the bullets out of the table, out of the gun, and you put them all out in the table, and you put the gun down to the side so it's not loaded anymore, there's definitely a substantial increase of felt safety. It's like, okay, nothing can really happen. The smart ass part, of course, whatever, you get it. The gun is unloaded. Once the gun is unloaded, your safety has been brought. Or like you meet somebody in an alleyway, you don't know them, and they have one hand behind their back. What you need to feel safe is, hey, you know, you need them to show you their hand. So you can see they don't have a gun, they don't have a knife. They show you their hand, they're like, oh, just, you know, I think a sore shoulder. I was just keeping it behind. It's a little bit of a funky, weird thing I do, but I've no arm. I've no gun. I've no knife. Ah, okay. You're open-handed. You're fine. Empty-handed. I'm good. In Heroic Husbands, we talk about the clean plate metaphor. I need to get this in and remind you guys, and if it's the first time, it's a core metaphor we use. Imagine for a moment, really imagine this, guys, listening in, that you're at your favorite restaurant and it's busy. It's a Friday or Saturday night. It's your birthday. You've ordered your favorite meal in your favorite restaurant, and you know your favorite chef is on, and the waiter's coming down, and then he puts it in front, and the meal on the plate is perfect. It's beautiful. It smells lovely. But you notice that around the plate, it's shitty. It's like it hasn't been washed in 3 or 4 meals. It's just like all the leftover shit of other people's meals was left to dry on it. There seems to be mouse droppings on it. There's like footprints that seem not of a mouse. Is it a rat, a cat? You don't know what the hell, but it's disgusting. Would you eat the meal? Literally, would you eat that meal? Is there anything that the waiter can say to you to convince you to eat the meal. No! No! There's only one guy in the history of me bringing that up that has ever said, you know, awkwardly, sheepishly, I probably would, because he was so conflict avoidant. He was like, I actually, honestly, probably would just take it on the chin. I'd never eat there again, but I probably, if the waiter insisted. So, yeah, his work with me was on reconnecting with his anger, for sure. So, that primal response in you is really key here. Unless you have an absolute, catastrophic, pathological lack of anger to be able to set a boundary, you're not going to eat it. And actually, with every insistence of the waiter to go, ah, you know, we're a bit busy tonight, sir. You know, I appreciate your custom and happy birthday. But, you know, I'd really appreciate if you just, you know, save me the bother, you know, I don't have other plates there. Can you just eat the meal? You'd get more and more and more irate with him. You get pissed off. You'd probably get into a fit of rage. Guys have said it to me. I'd just get up and walk. I'd never eat there again. That'd be it. Even if, like, at the first time of the waiter insisting. So it gets very primal inside of you. And this is where own comes in. This is where owning emotionally what's live inside of you is absolutely essential to begin with. In moments of conflict, but for all communication going forward. Because the more expansive you get, the more authentic and real, and you start bringing out your craziest, wildest dreams, a lot of fear comes out, a lot of anxiety that you're going to be turned down comes out. So you really need to get very good at the skill of owning first. Owning is cleaning the plate. You're cleaning the plate because, like in the dirty plate metaphor, where the waiter puts down a dirty plate, perfect meal on top of it, beautiful, you know, 4-star Michelin fucking meal, you're not going to eat the damn thing. It's the same thing with your nervous system. When you try to serve your perfect meal off your argument, your point of view, your perspective, sometimes it might even be that it's true, that your beautiful, rational, black and white mind is making a damn good point, that your queen, your household, would benefit from taking the wisdom off. I want to honor you guys. Hey, it's like, quite often, your brain can come up with some epic shit. Mine does too. However, our major thing is, when we get combative and we lead with truth and we don't own the irritation, own the anxiety, own the anger, own the frustration, and our queen says things, are you okay? You seem a little bit off. We're like, yeah, I'm fine. And we continue with the conversation. She's not asking you. When your queen goes, honey, are you okay? She's not fucking asking you if you're okay. That's the feminine goddess way of saying, dude, from the moment you stepped out of the car outside, with the way you walked, the pace that you walked, with how you opened the front door, with how you hung your jacket up, with that irritated cough thing that you do. That's one my queen always says. When you do that cough thing, Mark, when you just do give that semi-cough, it's like, I know shit is brewing. She's like, your queen will know. Your signs of heart closure better than any human on the planet. I can study this shit for like 10,000 hours. I have the whole formula. I've heard hundreds of times. Your queen is going to know your signs of heart closure better than me or better than any expert in a nanosecond. What that means is she's not going to feel safe while your gun is still loaded. She's not going to feel safe when you're saying you're fine and you're continuing with your truth and your rationalization when you have a knife behind your back or what could be a knife. She's not. I'm just lacing in the metaphors here, the clean plate. She's not going to enter into the experience of receiving your 3-4-star Michelin well-cooked rational argument if and when it's served on a dirty plate. And the dirty plate is your nervous system that's on edge. 99% of guys, I'd say, no, 100% of guys, are conflict avoidant. You get if you're like me, and I don't know a guy that likes that, that faces the feminine shitstorm and goes, yeah, it's go time, let's fucking do it. I've been training my nervous system to reorient myself that it's like, oh, it's go time. Come on. The storm is happening. Yay. You know, get a thing of popcorn. I love this part of the day. I love this part of my marriage. It's a training. I still don't get that always right. I really don't. But that's the orientation. It's go time. Get the fuck over myself. It's go time. 99, if not 100% of guys are conflict avoidant. Some guys can be super aggressive. It's like, oh, I don't avoid conflict. You do. You're avoiding it with your massively loud voice, with your quickness, your quick temper. You're avoiding it. You're just bullying the other side into submission. That is avoiding it. You're not attacking it. Just because you seem to be the one that attacks it, you're avoiding it. You're avoiding the vulnerability of opening yourself up and having your approach rendered inadequate and having your, you know, underbelly revealed and being intimate, intimacy, into me you see. It's like, hey, I have these emotions going on underneath my anger, my rage and my judgment and jealousy. There's a hurting heart, there's sadness, there's grief, there's anxiety, there's a lack of self-esteem. I don't feel so sure about myself. Deep sense of shame. I feel actually not enough as a man. As a husband, as a lover, as, you know, as a, in my money. So, owning, being able to own your signs of heart closure, it never works. Because it's a dirty plate, that conversation cannot be successful. And I define success not by your queen agreeing with you. Success is you're connected with your truth and her truth. And two truths, if necessary, can coexist that seem different, have a different flavor to them, are completely different. That is allowed. That is success, guys. So, I spoke before about the amygdala, you know, labeling your emotion, being able to say, hey, baby, you know, I want to own. You start with owning. I've a charge of anger there. I want to own. There's a feeling of frustration there, or I'm feeling rejected. There's a feeling of jealousy present in me. I would say it's not ideal. It's unskillful. I found to go, I'm angry. I am jealous. It's a statement that feels like all of you is. A part of me is angry. More skillful, because when you say a part of me or there's anger in me, it doesn't mean I am angry. This is, I am states the totality of me is. No, there's a part of me. So you own that. When you do that, anytime you label your emotion, the amygdala, which is the emotional center of the brain, it downregulates. It gets less intense, which means the emotionality dampens down. You turn the volume down. So owning at the beginning dampens down your emotional reactivity. The intensity of your emotion, literally, scientifically, from functional MRI studies, it dampens. The volume gets turned down, which relaxes and soothes you. And your queen's mirror neurons can pick up this and go, ah, okay, so he owned it. Psychologically, as I say, you've cleaned the plate. It's like you've taken the bullets out of the gun and you put them on the table going, hey, there's the bullets, there's anger, there's frustration and you know, a slice of jealousy there. They're on the table. They're not in the gun anymore. I'm okay, baby. Then you shift to curiosity. So you own first, you clean the plate, you go, hey, baby, you know, I'm not going to serve you a plate of my truth without cleaning the plate. A key thing here, guys, is the clean plate metaphor is very useful, but it's very easy to misinterpret. It's like the same thing as presence. The clean plate doesn't mean it has to be perfectly clean. It means you've got to be real in a non-judgmental way of revealing, you know, it's dirty. That's the clean plate. You're cleaning the plate throughout the conversation. It doesn't mean that the clean plate is impeccably clean. Oh, there's zero anger. No. Reducing anger. When you label it, she's okay. Your queen is okay with emotionality. She's been training for it pretty much from she was 11, 12, 13, whenever her period cycle started. She trains like every 28, 29 days. She's training for emotional intensity. She's a fucking okay with emotional intensity. It's just emotional intensity when you're pretending you're fine, but you've a loaded gun and you're not speaking it. She's not fine with you're trying to shove dinner into her mouth, you know, your rational arguments, but it's a dirty plate. And you're just not listening to any of her feedback. You're not tuning into her at all. That's what she doesn't like. It's not the emotional intensity at all. Then you shift to curious. Curious is, hey, baby, you know, you start with your own, you own your stuff. You're sitting with her, you course correct, your posture, eyes, you're with her, all ownership, you've labeled your emotions. Then it's, baby, I really want to know what's going on with you. So own, you make her feel safe. Curious, you make her feel seen and heard. The magic in this, guys, the absolute magic, this is night and day type shit. This is like a magic show. I still get shocked. Not shocked, but it's like, wow. When I'm on fire with these three phases, I'm like, wow. And the times I forget them and then I go, oh, own curious truth. And then 5 minutes later, butter in my hands. She's tearing up. My queen softens from fucking bad bitch mode where my mind is like, oh my fucking God, where's the off switch to, I've done it again. The magician in me goes, you just went to own curious truth. You know it's a repeatable process. Well done for remembering. You know, remember it a little bit quicker next time, dude. It's infallibly brilliant with practice. Because to feel seen, heard, and safe are the three core feminine needs. When you meet her sacred feminine needs in the first two phases of this process, own, followed by don't tell your truth now, just after owning, followed by listening to what her human experience is. What's the truth of her nervous system and its story that it's telling right now? She'll be safe and then she'll feel seen and heard. Key things to do in the curious phase is, hey, mirroring. You can listen to a chunk of what she said and then, hey, baby, I just want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly. And you can summarize. She may have been speaking for a few minutes and you let her flow, but you summarize. Hey, what I believe I'm hearing you say in all of that, I'd like to summarize and just touch base, baby. You know, I want to make sure that I'm accurate. I believe I'm hearing you say, and you go and you give a crystallization, a summary of what you believe you've heard her say. And then at the end of that, you can go, did I hear you correctly? Do you know, do you feel heard with that? Or is there something I'm missing out? Or am I misinterpreting? Am I mishearing something? That gives her the opportunity to clarify. The mirroring, That's a global mirroring, a general mirroring, where you, like a few minutes of our conversation. Mirroring, more specifically, I learned this from Chris Voss. He's an expert, an ex-FBI lead hostage negotiator. In his book and masterclass, he's speaking about mirroring, but like it's where you mirror back three or four of the key words in the preceding sentence. The sentence that just went before, you know, your queen goes, I'm trying to come up with a spontaneous thing she might say. It's like, hey, I'm just so annoyed that like every single time you're late, it upsets me. And you might say, every single time I'm late, it upsets you. You mirror back a core chunk and she's like, yeah, it upsets me. And then she naturally, because you've mirrored back, she's feeling heard. She naturally wants to speak more to you. She might go like, you know, the other night when you were late back and I got worried and, you know, later on that night, I can never get off to sleep after it. Never get off to sleep. It sounds, when you landed with like an intonation, like you landed with curiosity, genuine curiosity, not like rational black and white. Oh, well, Mark said on the podcast, so you could not sleep. You know, it's like not fucking Terminator. You know, it's not the, what is it? I'm forgetting the robot. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You don't, you landed with curiosity, with feeling, with empathy. And you couldn't get off to sleep, huh? That mirroring back naturally triggers a response in your queen, in any human, that they're feeling heard, so they continue speaking about their human experience. Another key tool is labeling. Whatever your queen is saying, you know, if there's a bit of conflict and, hey, you've owned, but, you know, you still need to support her, label with the words, it seems like you're feeling, and label the emotion you feel she is experiencing. Seems like you're feeling angry. It gives her a moment to reflect, get to her rational mind and reflect, God, am I angry? And again, the amygdala down regulates. Once she labels that emotion, once she shifts into a self-reflective awareness practice of, am I angry? Am I frustrated? You know, you might say, it seems like you're overwhelmed. That self-reflective process will down-regulate her amygdala, and it will dampen in a beautiful way to help her self-regulate in the moment. And she'll be like, yeah, I am feeling frustrated. Yes, I am angry, actually. There's an appreciation because she's feeling seen and heard. Her whole nervous system, it's medicine to feel seen and heard. Even if she's perceiving you're wrong in the moment, that you're curious about her, that you have the tact and the conscious capacity to put on the shelf your perspective to last, and you prioritize her human experience, touching base with emotion, you know, it seems like, and then you label what her emotional state seems like. You mirror back, making sure that, you know, you're genuinely curious and, like, showing an enthusiastic willingness to find out more about her human experience. It means her truth is safe with you. And thus, you've built an unshakable foundation under yourself, under your queen, and under your connection together in that moment where she's feeling seen, heard, and safe. You're more grounded, amygdala, down-regulated, her amygdala, down-regulated. Now we're coming to not a rational conversation, but the emotions are beginning to be settled, because in all of this, what are you being? You're being the mountain in the storm. Your practice of presence is allowing all emotions be live. And by doing so non-judgmentally, overcoming the bullshit conditioning that we've all had as boys growing up, growing into young men, you know, oh, boys don't cry and don't get angry with me. And, you know, all of this shaming of our emotionality. When you practice being non-judgmental, you're loving and accepting your experience. You can speak to whatever is live inside of yourself without losing your structure. You're still a mountain. Strong spine, soft front. You can own what's happening. And then strong spine, soft front. You prioritize understanding your queen first before you seek to be understood yourself. She feels seen and heard. Then it's your turn. Then and only then. This is the king move. As Stephen Covey said in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, seek first to understand, then to be understood. So that's the curiosity. He didn't speak about the ownership part. But you've understood her, now you speak your truth. Without any rationalizing, without any justifying, without any getting into argument, speak what feels true with loving directness. A tactful way. Chewy Freeman, an elder that was on the podcast, it's nearly about a year ago, I think. He gave this beautiful, tactful way of landing something that, hey, might, you know, there might be a potentiality that it's it might be tough for your queen to receive. It's like, say the words, I love you, and he's like, land your truth after that. You know, like you might say, I love you, baby, and I'm struggling to get an erection at the moment. It's nothing to do with you. I love you, and I'm not in agreement with your perspective on this. Not yet, anyway. I love you, and oh, I just can't yet understand why you feel spending money on this is important now. I love you and land your truth. No matter, it's been my experience, and the guys that practice this and practice it to the point that they get good at it. It's been my experience firsthand and from report back, guys, that when you truly own and you clean your plate and you show intentionality to clean your plate, take the bullets out of your gun, you know, take the knife from out behind your back, you get the point, and you speak and you course correct, your eyes look away, I'm sorry, baby, you're back, I'm back with you. You get curious, please go on. You state the emotion or emotions that you're feeling in that moment, but you shift into curiosity. And then you get curious and you mirror, you label, you properly go to lengths to clarify if you're hearing her correctly. You're proving to her that you're allowing her human experience exist. And then and only then you speak your truth. And you go through this cycle. It's miraculous. It feels miraculous if all you've known is the other way. I'll truth bomb her, I'll attack her, I'll rationalize, I'll speak rationality, and I'll keep hammering home my meal to her. God damn her, would she not just receive my meal? It's a good meal. I've cooked a good meal of my rational thinking. I know, I'll taste it. And it's like you're doing with a kid. Here, look, you'll taste the meal and go, look it, I've tasted it, it tastes good. Why the fuck aren't you eating it? It's a dirty plate, man. The plate is dirty. Your nervous system is dirty. There's unspoken tension, unspoken anger. You've unspoken frustration. She's not feeling safe, so she's not going to join you there. And it's going to be hell. Own curious truth, guys. And in all of this, coming into landing here, where this has been a revelation for me and for the guys in Heroic Husbands Men Circles, and you, those of you that pay the price to practice and train your nervous system in this, it opens up your capacity as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a parent, as a human being, to create a life radically on your terms, where you get to experience your wishes, your wants, your desires, because your queen is not against you. The only reason she puts obstacles, or supposedly becomes an obstacle for you, is she's not feeling seen, heard, and safe around you when you tepidly or aggressively or rarely speak what you really want, what you desire. And because when you do try to speak what you desire, what you want, what you need, what you're in disagreement with her on, from a truth, curious own perspective, you go with your truth first, you never feel safe. So you keep on reaffirming your belief that she doesn't support you, that she doesn't want you to be happy, that she doesn't want you to have the geographical freedom that you desire and she's always against. She doesn't want you to change your job because she's always against that. She doesn't trust me. Oh, poor me, she doesn't trust me. I wish I had the wife that Tom down the road has. He can travel anywhere. My wife doesn't want me doing any of that shit. I wish in the bedroom she'd be more open. In all of this, this is the miraculous game-changing gift that this gifts you and gifts your queen, is when you can get good at own curious truth. Because you are systematically, and your queen's nervous system comes to expect that this is the way you communicate, she will build up a level of accumulated trust in you, accumulated experiences of feeling safe with you, that she lets her guard down. And you will find, to your greatest surprise, she's not actually against stuff that you've been suggesting you wanted down the years. She was always completely, completely against feeling unsafe, feeling unheard, feeling unseen with you as you tried to bombard and get your way with your truth. So, trying to force feed her to eat your, what you thought was a good cooked meal on a dirty plate. That's what she's against. This has been a revelation for me as a man, and it continues to be so. Things that I never thought my queen could give me the two thumbs up, I'm like, wow, she's open to that in the bedroom? It's like, wow, she's open to me going doing that type of travel? Wow, she's open to me having that type of experience. I thought that was a no-go for her, and it was, because I've spoken to it before. Now, all of a sudden, because of own curious truth, my rigorous practice of that, she's more open. And as a result, more for truth is coming true. She's feeling better. She's doing her podcast. She's writing her book. She's on fire in parenting. I'm able to give her, through own curious truth, I'm able to give her feedback. She's now, this is like the miracle of all miracles, guys. I never thought this would ever happen. Honestly, it's the last year or so that like this has come online big time. She comes to me and goes, Mark, I want your feedback on this whatever topic. I want to get your guidance. She'll ask me, she's like, Mark, can you hold space for me? I'm just struggling with this thing and I just love you to hear me out. I'm like, wow, Mark, what do you think I should do on this? Thing is, I don't actually jump into guiding her. I'm more, I'll go with own curious and truth. And normally by the end of the curiosity phase, she has her own solution. I've stopped needing to fix because I've practiced my nervous system being okay with any emotional state. And from there, I'm the mountain in the storm. And this is guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. They're beginning to get really, really good at holding space, being the mountain in the storm. Mountain knows the storm will pass, so they practice own curious truth, and they're getting what they want more and more. The more and more they stay in the movement, the more and more they're getting what they want. It's beautiful. And our queen is opening up and sharing parts of her being that she's never shared with them before. Because why? Own curious truth. When you practice this, you become the single most healing influence in your wife's and kids' human experience. You. And from here, I want to share this with you because I know there's a lot of experiences happening behind closed doors that guys don't feel okay with sharing. But it's like my queen's so-called depression, anxiety, massive shame, problems with sexuality, sexual shame because of abuse, her narcissistic mother and all the incredible shit that happened there, the abandonment wounds from early childhood, her parents divorced, she was meant to be the child to be born to save the marriage. She failed in that, you know, she failed the expectations, she failed to save her marriage, her granddad cheating 24/7. So, I mean, her nervous system has had its fair share of traumatizing emotional psychological experiences, which I experienced the full wrath of, and I thought I could never have any peace so long as I was with my queen. What I can tell you is own curious truth not only establishes your capacity to get what you want, your desires, your needs, and all that shit, which is cool, is really important. A positive side effect or a full frontal central effect of this process is over time. Don't pretend you're fucking Carl Jung and in the first week she won't feel sad anymore or any bullshit like that. And set your expectations. But over time, by doing this, owning what's live in your nervous system and getting safe and then curious and then truth and repeat, your queen's nervous system will learn to relax and will feel so safe in your presence, in the fortress of the house, of the home that you're protecting, that you're allowing her authentic human experience in, where she always feels her attachment needs are being met by you. The key to human needs, attachment and authenticity. She will heal over time in a way that you will feel it's only mystics and saints had the capacity to do that. Because why? You will have entered the mystical realm of consciousness, of true presence, own curious truth. Guys, this is an immense topic. I love teaching this. I am passionate. I want every single one of you to get the full, literally limitless benefits gushing into your life, into your marriage, into your parenting, into your inner world. The level of confidence that this unleashes. You know, the guy that speaks to, you know, through this podcast, I was deeply suicidal multiple times during my married life journey. sexual, like crazy fucked up things. This process is front and center as to the radical confidence that deepens every single day of my lived experience. It's having this process, because I now have a repeatable process to have immense trust in, that I know I can get my truth across, my queen can get her truth across, my kids have their truth honored, and hey, in the intensity of it all, we're all thriving. Happily ever after is the only game. Non-stop expansion. I really desire that every single one of you, no matter how bad it feels and intense it feels now, can experience this. You can and you will, if you're willing to pay the price of discipline, if you're willing to pay the price of persistence, if you're willing to pay the price of getting humble and being really honest with where you're truly at in your nervous system. And I do want to challenge you, direct masculine challenge, guys, to give very sincere consideration to joining Heroic Husbands Men's Circle. There are 32 guys. We're coming up next week is the 1 year anniversary, the first anniversary of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Started with six epic men day one. You know who you are, guys. I salute you. Amazing, amazing guys. They kicked it off. They took the leap of faith. Many of them have been on the podcast in the Marriage Transformation Heroes series, you know, firsthand, regular guys like you and myself that have come, done the work, and have experienced massive marital transformation, of which Own Curious Truth is a key part of the process. The regular guys, there's now, I believe the number is up to 32 guys. The snowball is rapidly gaining momentum. You don't have to lone wolf. Struggling with same shit, different day, with a couple of wins here and there, but no massive, like massive change that you deserve, that your queen deserves, that your kids deserve. Don't be riding out with the risk of divorce, and don't be riding out lone wolfing thinking, I'm not going to do that emotional stuff. I don't like that. I don't believe that. You know, that's lone wolfing. It doesn't work, man. In Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, you meet regular dudes. I'm a regular dude. That's why it can work so brilliantly with other regular dudes. I'm not an expert. I haven't done fucking, oh, I've a PhD in this, and it's only because I'm an author, and it's only because I'm a podcast. I don't have any of that shit. I'm a regular dude that figured out what never works. I've devoted my life to figuring that out, ruthlessly hacking what doesn't work, and find out what does work. For regular guys like yourself, myself, who, yeah, we mightn't ever be the most emotionally tuned guys on the planet, but by fuck, if you can get black and white as much as you can and pay attention and figure out, and that's what I do. I figure out what works, and then I challenge guys and I hold them accountable. Within the Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, their accountability partner, the whole culture is high accountability. Things get better. This shit works for regular dudes. None of the guys that came in feeling comfortable with emotions. None of them. Not one of them. I didn't enter men's work feeling, oh, I'm just like really a duck to water with these emotions, but I'm just here to learn a few strategies. No fucking way. None of them felt comfortable. But what every single guy who's experiencing massive whole life benefits, their marriage transforming, their inner world transforming, non-stop expansion of healing and confidence in them, guys, what they did do is they practiced about 20 seconds of kingly courage and they booked a call. And their lives have never been the same again. I put the challenge to you guys. Stop lone wolfing. Stop needlessly struggling by lone wolfing and relying on guesswork that just will not have you to break through. Stop withholding the massive benefits from yourself, your queen, your kids, and the next seven generations after you. At the end of this, it's in the podcast description notes. Click. It takes 20 seconds and book your application call. The next intake is starting at the end of July, so you better get your application calls booked now to get in for that intake. Now is the time to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Own Curious Truth is the central path, with in complete love, with complete appreciation for every single one of you amazing kings listening in. With perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.